for tuning in today. The Sure Thing. Warren and Ryan here with you January 6th. We'll talk some NFL today going into the last week of the season. I'll say today we talked to about the national championship game. I know that's on Monday. We do one on Monday, but maybe we'll do one on Tuesday next week to talk about the national championship game after that. So we'll talk about the national championship game, some other stories going on out there in the sports world. Check us out, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio app under the podcast section. We will have picks for the NFL today as well. If you've been here, you know that's what we do on Thursdays. Ryan, how is it? How's it going out there?
It's going good. You know, not too much to complain about. We were talking a little pre-show how great technology is until it isn't. And then it's just an absolute disaster. You know, you're dealing with some password issues. I had some phone issues last week. At my baseball facilities, we have these pitching machines that are pretty high-tech, pretty cool. But one just decided to just completely shit the bed on me yesterday and right in the middle of a lesson that I was giving. And so I had to stop for like 15 minutes to try and fix it. And so then that made my night a whole little bit later, and then finally figured it out, started working, and then stopped working again. So technology is really, really good until it isn't. And then it's, you know, you want to pull your hair out and maybe put a gun in your mouth.
I didn't do that this morning. I mean, it was a password thing, and I changed my password a couple days ago, or I swear to God, I think I changed it on Monday. And then you just add a capitalization, and for some reason it was not seriously, and it was not working. And then I kept signing in on it. And I was also thinking, like, the harder you bang the keys, maybe it will work. I was just like banging the keys, and then I don't know, randomly I go back to the password and it worked or whatever. I'm like, what happened? Like, what happened?
Yeah, did you have caps lock on? I didn't ask yet. Did you have caps lock on maybe?
No, I didn't. I looked, but okay. You know what? I did the one time I did sign in, I was hitting control instead of shift. Now that I think about it, but I was hitting shift.
Yeah.
Because the last one I did, I remember I was like, I'm not doing shift anymore. I remember hitting caps lock, hitting the letters that were capitalized, and then turning caps lock off after that, and then doing lowercase that way, and I think it worked. Maybe I did have control. No, I had shift on. Yeah, I don't know, because I'm going through it. No, I had shift. I don't know, whatever. I got signed in, though, so that's a good thing. But yeah, no, that was an issue. All right, I have something. So I don't know if this is a good omen, excuse me, or a bad omen. So I played golf on Monday, first round of the year. The problem is too, I played by myself. So people are going to, if they listen to this, they're going to be like, oh my God, he played by myself. No, I did not make a hole in one. You would have heard about, you would have been talking about that. But I did birdie four of the last five holes to shoot one under par. And like, I was like, told some people, they're like, what'd you shoot? And I was like, one under, did this. And they're like, do you play with anybody? I go, no, I played by myself. And I was like, and they're like, oh, that's a little fishy. I was like, it's hard to, like, why would someone lie? I'm not lying about shooting under par. But I did have one of my buddies called me on the last two holes. So I talked to him on the phone while I was playing. And he can vouch that I did birdie the last two, because he could hear my excitement. Especially on the last one, I made a 40-footer for birdie as I'm saying, oh, my God, this might go in, and it went in. But I think shooting under par in your first round of the year is a bad omen for the rest of the year. Most people will think it's a good omen. I think it's a bad omen.
Yeah, you know, I can definitely see you thinking that it is a bad omen, because, you know, that might be as good as it gets all year. And
hopefully not.
Yeah, right. But getting back to your original point of, you know, why would you lie? I think it wouldn't make sense for somebody like you that plays a couple times a week to lie about it. Now, if it was me that plays, you know, a couple times a month, maybe once a month, twice a month, that would make more sense for me to lie about shooting one under. But if you're playing regularly, you know, I don't think you gain anything from it. Did you input the score to make sure your handicap is okay?
I told myself this year I was going to input every single score. And as I'm as I was even going on to 18, I was like, damn, there's these Trinity Forest, there's woods left. And I was like, man, maybe I just pump one in the woods to get that handicap adjustment going on.
Wouldn't have been a bad idea. You know what I mean? Just kind of duff one for handicap sake and, you know, make sure you're getting those strokes. But no, that's pretty cool. Congrats on that. I don't know. When was the last time you shot under par? Been a while.
I think I did it last year, I think. Okay. Once or twice last year, I think. I know in 2019 I did it twice because I shot my lone round ever twice last in 2019. But yeah, maybe I think I shot it last year. If it was like one under par. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like, oh, he's super low or whatever. I think I shot it once last year. I don't know. I definitely didn't shoot under par on Tuesday, I'll tell you that. I was just like, as I'm doing, I'm like, man, this is bad. That's why when I don't usually play by myself a lot, but if I'm playing by myself, I always, if a ball is in the air on like a par three and it's like going towards the pin, I'm just like, please don't go in. Because then you have to do like some of them you like can't tell. So that's fine. So then you're like, you have to be the guy that's like, guys, I'm playing golf by myself. Here, I'm taking a video. I think I made a hole in one, or like, this is the photo. This is the video evidence that I made a hole in one. And those videos are always cool, but I'm just like, please don't do it.
Well, I think the only resolution is you just got to strap a GoPro to your head when you golf by yourself. Just to make sure.
Yeah, I'm not doing that. Or I could be like a golf vlogger, TikToker, and just record every single shot.
Yeah, set up the camera.
A tripod.
You set up the shot down the fairway, not like the golf thoughts, and set up the shot directly facing themselves.
The side view, you do the down the line view.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, or you could, you know, that might get a little bit of viewership. Who knows? Maybe the Swifties come back around on TikTok and you're like, hey.
Yeah, maybe. No, but if you did every shot, then people are like, oh, how do I know that was an actual one and you didn't hit another one?
That's true.
But it's pretty funny. All right. Let's get in the NFL. As we've got one winning in game, that is the Chargers and the Raiders. And I will say, this scenario has been going around, but I'm rooting for the Jags on Sunday, just so we have the scenario where that if both teams tie, that they are in the playoffs. And I would love to see on Sunday Night Football, like a kneel off. Or if you don't want to make a mockery of it, you
run the triple option.
Triple option, or literally just like draw play up the middle. And no, you know what they should do? They should just have Austin Eckler, whoever the running back is, just get handoffs. And when he goes to the line of scrimmage, just like fall to the ground. Just give himself up. Like, I want some just like automatic where they're just going to tie the game. I think that would be great. And I know people would complain about it, but I think that would be awesome television.
I think it would be fantastic. I think everybody should be rooting for that scenario. You know, it's nothing like, I can't think of anything, you know, recently that, you know, we could have something like that. It's a bummer that it comes down to the Jaguars having to win. I would definitely feel better if it was somebody else. Not the
Jaguars. It's your boy though.
Yeah, I know, Trevor Lawrence, I know, shout out. But, you know, things have not been grand so far, even after Urban's dismissal. Maybe he has the game of his life here, Trevor Lawrence does, and just goes out there and puts one on the Colts. That'd be fantastic. But, yeah, no, I think it would be great. I mean, if you're Staley or Bisaccia, you guys got to be like, hey, come on. I mean, let's both make it to the playoffs. You know what I mean? Why knock one of each other out? You know, all we got to do is tie. And like you said, either just run the ball 60 times and take that play clock down to one before you snap it every single time. No timeouts, no challenges. You know what I mean? Just try to see how quickly you can get that game over. Like I said, maybe run the triple option. If you're the Raiders, run it with Mariota and Josh Jacobs and Jalen Richard. And if you're the Chargers, maybe just run the wildcat with Eckler and Justin Jackson, some of those other guys you got back there, and just see what you can do. Don't throw the ball When it's Staley, I know it's going to be hard, but when it's fourth and one, fourth and two, guess what? You just punt. That's all you do. You just punt. Let the play clock run out. Let the game clock run out, and have a 0-0 game. If you happen to score a touchdown, if someone breaks loose, you gotta fall down. Score. Yeah, or yeah, that too. Let the other guy score, or you gotta fall down. You know, let the turf monster get you, a la Daniel Jones. But I think that would be absolutely fantastic. And you know what, too, it would be, you know, maybe not a great game or even a good game to watch, but it would be fun. And Twitter would be set ablaze on Sunday yes. night. Everybody would be lighting it up. I think in a positive way, in a good way. You know, you'll get some old farts that are out of touch with everything that are pissed off or angry, or some doofus dork football writer. Shout out Florio of, you know, probably.
I think he'd be behind that, though.
He better be. He better be, because he kind of shits on fun sometimes. So I think that'd be fun for everybody involved. And so I'm really rooting for it as well.
OK, so I've got some bets if the Colts do win or if the Jags win. Also, the Colts haven't won in Jacksonville since 2014. And there have been some bad Jags teams then. Yeah, so yeah. That's a mental hurdle, too, they have to overcome. Will the game go to overtime? Plus 900. That's a yes. Will the game go to overtime? Now, this is if the Jags win. Here are some other ones. You could be making a lot of money. Now, they don't have first TD scores or any props up yet. But you could do the race to 10 points. That's 80-1. And you bet neither team gets to 10 because it would be 0-0. And you could win. You could do that. You could do neither team the race to 15, 18-1. Neither team race to 20, 65-1. Neither team wins the race to 25. That's plus 190. So you can make some serious cash there. The points range would be 0 to 20. That's 28-1. You could put some money on that too. You could do full time, halftime, full time, double result, 40-1, double draw. So there's never a winner. You could make some serious money if you think that if they lose, you could take the books to school if they're gonna tie the this game, and you could bet a tie at 35-1. I mean, you could really do some serious damage here.
I think if the Jaguars win, the books probably take the game down for a minute,
and reassess.
Reassess big time, and so that doesn't happen, because I'm sure a lot of people are looking ahead, you know, for the same reason and seeing what they can get.
Yeah, I would probably agree with that, but maybe that's why you're looking at. Maybe that's why you're looking at if the Jags are up big early on, taking some risks if they're gonna hold on to the lead, because you can make some money there.
Yeah.
But then you also have to have the faith that like that's gonna happen.
Mm-hmm.
But if you believe that they would do something like that, then why not do that?
I'll tell you what, though, the Colts may want to consider starting Ellinger if they're truly wanting to win this game. So that's all.
But it's the COVID. Every quarterback is bad coming off of COVID.
Well, Carson Wentz had his bad game last week.
Yeah, that was his game off the COVID list.
Right.
So Heinicke was bad against the Cowboys. Baker was bad against. Oh, I mean, he's been bad the whole year, but he's been bad. He was bad against the Packers. Who else? What other quarterbacks? We'll have to see Cousins this week with what he does against the Bears. But like quarterbacks and players in general have kind of played bad when they've off the COVID list.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe they got that out of the way. All right. So that's a Sunday night game, Chargers Raiders. I know we talked about it, the Colts, but I've been saying it about the Chargers for a while. If you've been listening, something to me hasn't been right about them all year. Or not been all right, but I think people think they're better than what they are. And Justin Herbert is still pretty inconsistent as a quarterback. Like, he'll have some great games, and then he'll just have some really poor games. And the Raiders, we've talked about it a lot, they've been through a gauntlet of off-the-field stuff with Henry Ruggs, Gruden, and they've somehow won three in a row and found themselves in a win and you're in. And it really is a testament to Rich Bisaccia. I'd say Derek Carr. He seems to be the leader of the team and seems like a good leader. yeah, and find their way in a winning in spot, and it's pretty remarkable, I would say, for the Raiders to come back when it looked like they were dead after the Washington game.
Yeah, no, they went through a bit of a schneid there when all the turmoil first started, and I think they just had a guy get arrested for a DUI recently too. So they've gone through a gauntlet, of proportions we haven't seen before of off the field issues. And they're right here, right in the thick of things. We were talking about obviously the situation of maybe playing for a tie. If it comes down to a minute and a half, 2 minutes left, and it's still 0-0, and Derek Carr has the ball, is he going to be okay not trying to go for the field goal to win? That's what we really got to be looking out for there. But you're right about Justin Herbert. He's really been up and down. There's been some games where he goes out there and lights it up for 400 yards, and there's games that he goes out there and throws three interceptions and just kind of stinks. A lot of it, I think, I mean, this is going to sound stupid, but a lot of it too, he's a guy, Justin Herbert, where he can make plays with his feet. He can make most of the throws, but he's not a guy that's going to make his wide receivers look better. You know what I mean? Does that make sense? Like Keenan Allen and Mike Williams, they have to have good games for Justin Herbert to have a good game. If they're not getting open, he's not going to be, he's not able to find other dudes open. He's not able to make a big play with his arm and take advantage of maybe if he gets somebody open over the middle or whatever the case may be. If his two big guys, and we'll even throw Jared Cook in there, the tight end, if they're struggling to get open, he's cooked. You know what I mean? Like we obviously comparing Justin Herbert to Tom Brady is a little wild, but just if we take a look at last week, Tom Brady goes and these guys that came in off the street, we're not sure who these wide receivers are. He goes in and he's able to find them and get passes to them and end up scoring the game-winning touchdown. Again, Tom Brady's probably the greatest quarterback we've ever seen, but that's what I'm saying is if his two big dudes aren't working for him, then he really, really struggles. He's not able to find the third, fourth, fifth option a lot of the time.
Yeah, but I will say, I mean, he makes some really incredible throws.
His arm talent is fantastic. Justin Herbert, like, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying anything. Like, his arm talent is great. He makes a ton of good throws, a ton of the throws that he needs to make. But like I said, if those guys aren't open, I don't know if he's necessarily a guy that can throw his wide receivers open a lot of the time.
Gotcha. I haven't watched enough to see. I will say he does overthrow the deep ball a bunch.
Yeah.
Like he throws a great deep ball, but still a lot of the time he does nuke a bunch of them like way over the head. So we'll have to see that. And the Broncos and the Chargers defense, I think it's made out better than what it truly is.
Yeah.
They're good. They're like, they got Bosa and Derwin James, but other than that, it's kind of just like, what else do they got? Like they should be a better unit, I think, than what they do. That's a Sunday night game. Really the noon slate is pretty poor. I guess obviously Colts Jags you want to watch to figure out what's going on there. And then if Houston beats Tennessee, the Chiefs game matters, but well, that's on Saturday. I don't think there's really anything exciting on Sunday at noon. Then you get to the game. Rams and the 49ers. Rams win that. They are in the division. They win the division and the Niners. How do the Niners make the playoff if they lose, if the Falcons beat the Saints?
If the Falcons beat the Saints, correct.
Gotcha. Boy, the Saints making the playoffs this year, that would be an impressive coaching job. Like, I know everybody loves to say coach of the year. Like, there's probably about four coaches that probably should get coach of the year this year. I'd say Tomlin. The fact that team, if they lose, they're 8-1. That team, they stink.
Yeah, they're bad.
They're really bad. The Saints making it to the playoffs if they win. And if they make the playoffs, I'd say Sean Payton. Sirianni, everybody was throwing him in the bin even before he stepped foot on the field after the press conference. And then they were, 2-6 and then somehow made the playoffs?
Mm-hmm. Throw Zach Taylor in there.
Zach Taylor, I would say that I would say the Bengals have the most talent out of any of those teams. But yeah, him, the Bengals of the seesaw season, them winning a big game to win the division. Like those four guys are all, like, I know some of them, Tomlin's not going to make the playoffs probably. And, And Sean Payton might not either, but like, still, those are good candidates, I would say.
You could probably even make an argument for Bisaccia.
Yeah.
I know he didn't coach the whole season, you know, came in midway through, but still, I mean, the fact that if you just look at all the stuff going on outside that we just talked about, and he still has his team in a spot to make the playoffs, you know, and I definitely think he's got to get a little consideration for sure, too.
Yeah, no, that's for sure. You got to think the Raiders are going to bring him back potentially. But did you hear the rumor about the Raiders coach?
No.
Harbaugh.
Oof.
Jim. Rumors are swirling that, well, I mean, Jim also kind of, there was some leaking going on that Harbaugh would be open to leaving Michigan right now.
Think he'd go to Jacksonville? See if we can bring in another college coach and see if they get some success there.
Well, no, did I not say that after he got fired? Urban got fired?
Oh, yeah, that's right. The Trent Baalke thing.
Wait, oh, No.
Go ahead.
I said that he was going to get fired so he could one-up Urban because he never was able to beat him in college.
Yeah.
So if he's able to win with Jacksonville, he would just one-up. He would get the quote-unquote last laugh on him. But even when they went head-to-head, Urban dominated him.
Yeah.
So whatever way you want to go. And I don't even think people would, I mean, everybody loves a good Urban Meyer joke, so they would go for it, but it's really, he's already proven that he's been a good, NFL head coach.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I also saw the Bears with Harbaugh.
I've been seeing a lot of Bears fans that want Ryan Day.
Yeah. Cause the Justin Fields thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll have to see there. For a week 18 or whatever, I know we only get the one Sunday night game, but it seemed like we had a potential for a lot of drama coming down to the last weekend. A lot of
storylines, yeah.
But they kind of just all fizzled out after last weekend.
Yeah.
And this week for gambling is tough. Like, have the Cowboys said what they're going to do if they're playing their guys or not?
No, not that I know of. I haven't heard one way or the other.
I haven't seen that. I would assume the Eagles are playing because the Cowboys are pretty much locked into the fourth spot after that loss on Sunday. And I would say the Cowboys should want the 49ers to win and then somehow the Cardinals to win the division. Because much rather would have seen much rather have the Rams come to town than the Cardinals, I think.
Yeah, I would. I don't know. That's a toss-up.
Yeah,
I don't know. That's a toss-up.
I was thinking about that this week. You got to think you'd rather have Stafford than with how turnover crazy he's been lately than face Kyler. I know it's the whole, oh, hard to beat it to whatever. You played him 2 weeks ago, but I definitely think would rather face turnover prone Stafford than Kyler right now.
Yeah.
But all right. What do you got for picks?
So I went 3-2 last week, solidifying that even if I go 0-5 this week, your boy is finishing above 500 for sure. I'm 45, 38-2. So even if I went 0-5, it'd be 45, 43-2. That's still above 500 because that's more wins than losses.
Yes.
So I'm going to start off with the Eagles +7 against Dallas. Again, that's a game that I'm not really sure. I'm not sure if the Eagles are going to be playing their starters. I'm not sure if the Cowboys are going to be playing their starters, what they're going to be doing, because both of them have clinched playoff spots, obviously, and with Dallas clinching the division. But I'm going to ride with the Eagles +7. I like Cincinnati +6.5 against Cleveland. I don't think either team will be playing. I mean, obviously, Baker's out. He's going to get a shoulder surgery. We saw last week that after they were eliminated, Cleveland had zero interest in running Chubb. So I think Cincinnati is going to be able to cover that 6.5. I don't even know who the backup is for Cincinnati. Do you have any
Brandon idea? Allen?
Oh, that's right. Yeah, the dumbass almost. Oh shoot, I might have to reconsider that pick. We'll revisit that one. Brandon Allen's an idiot. We're going to go 49ers +4.5 against the Rams because they have to win. They're winning it. They're winning in. Rams are already clinched up, and these last two picks are just for the drama sake, we're going Jaguars plus 15.5, or we're taking the Raiders plus 3.
Okay. I mean, have the Jags plus 15.5 and the Raiders.
Let's go. Like, you know, we're taking Cincinnati off the card, and I'm going to ride with the Cardinals minus 6.5 against Seattle. Seattle's bad.
Okay, I had that. We were both on the Lions last week. We should have known better. Russ's last home game.
Yeah.
Like, we should have known better. We should have read that situation a little bit better there. But I'm going to take the Lions plus 4.5. I'm going to go back to them. Also, Monday, I'm going to go back and or Tuesday, you can do this too. I'm going to go back and do the individual records of each team I picked this year. And see how I did, how many games I picked, what their record was, and all that.
Gotcha.
I started doing that today, but I didn't realize I started too late. I'm going to be on the Lions plus 4. I said I'm on Jacksonville plus 15.5. I'm on the Raiders plus 3.5. I'm going to take Buffalo minus 16.5. I remember last year they were like in the rest Russ type of debate, and they played Miami and beat them by like 40. So I think they're going to go all out. I think the Jets are ready to mail it in. I know the Jets have played a little better, more competitive, but also the Bills need to win the division too. Like, they win this, they win the division. So I'm going to take them, and I'm going to take Miami plus 6.5. I don't really know why. The Patriots seem to always struggle when they go play in Miami, especially like in December. Obviously, this is January now. I could see that going on. I will say the other pick I was considering was Washington against the Giants, just because the Giants are just like
so bad.
So bad. They are so bad. Like, how are they going to score? How are they going to score? But yeah, they are so like so bad. What's their team total this week? It's got to be 14.5.
Oh, pound that under.
Minus 130, so you're laying some juice. That's first half money. Team, huh?
That's free money.
The first half team total for the Giants is 7.5, and that is minus 170. Yeah, they're bad. I don't, that might just be an extra bet, Washington. Mm. But they are, they're pretty, pretty bad out there. But yeah, no, this time it's just hard to gauge who's interested, who's not. Look, you said the Browns were uninterested. The Browns defense was interested in the game. Baker, on the other hand, just, saw about 25 guys all game wide open, just decided not to throw the ball. So we are, I think I did say on Monday I thought he's done.
Yeah.
I'm even more convinced he's gone now. He's throwing Stefanski under the bus, saying there's internal damage between him and them. And so everybody's complaining about, like, a lot of people this year in Cleveland have been mad that they haven't ran the ball more. And look, I obviously understand it, but one of the beat writers said that Baker wanted to throw the ball more this season. So then Stefanski catered the offense to him, and then he's mad at how the offense is, and he's mad that he's not giving him enough protection and stuff like that. I was like, dude, like, look at the tapes. Like, that one sack on 3rd and 2 at the end of the first half that T.J. Watt had. If you go, I don't know if you saw it on Twitter, but like Bill Barnwell tweeted it. Obviously, a bunch of Browns people tweeted it up. But like, you had 3 guys wide open, and you could have picked which one to throw, and you hold on to the ball for 4 seconds and take a sack, and you're going to be like, oh, I got sacked 9 times tonight. I mean, you go look at the all 22 on some of the game on Monday. Half of the sacks were because you held on to the ball for so long, and dudes are running wide open. He is now gone into, like, he's seeing ghosts, or he's not trusting his eyes. He's gone back to 2019 Baker, not 2020 Baker, and he needs a new vote. He needs some new confidence. And I do think a lot of that is the shoulder. Did you know Trubisky tore his labrum in his arm? in his non-throwing shoulder. So yeah, Mitch started out 11-3 when they won the division that year and lost on the double doink, and then tore his labrum in his non-throwing shoulder and went down the same kind of bad run that Baker had. And obviously Matt Nagy wasn't really helping him the year after, but like, look, I don't think Baker's as bad as he has been this season, but good Lord, he has not done anything to help people think that he's a good quarterback right now.
Yeah. When you start making demands or start, you know, calling people out like that, like you need to be, I think, you know, good, or at least show, you know, show that you were headed in a different direction, you know, in the right direction. Not saying that he had to prove himself still, but you know, I still think a lot of people across the NFL have a lot of questions about Baker and how good he really is. And if he's a guy that can lead a team to, you know, the playoffs or and beyond.
He did that.
Right. But, and then beyond that, you know what I mean? Is he a guy that can do that? Is he a guy that just needs all the help around him to be able to make that work? Because yeah, I saw the, you know, and sometimes those still photos, you know, can kind of smudge things a little bit or fudge things up a little bit. All four of those guys were absolutely wide open and he didn't throw it to any of them and got sacked instead of it. And, you know, like you said, we're in a real pass happy league. And I think that's the league that you need to be in. But when you have arguably, like I said, I think Chubb's probably the second best running back in the league behind Derrick Henry. You should turn around and hand that ball to him and shoot, even throw Kareem Hunt in there. Kareem Hunt's probably a top 10, top 15 running back in the league still as well. You should be able to hand that ball off about 40, 50 times between the two of them and have a lot of success.
Yeah. I mean, Hunt missed like 9 games this season, 10.
Correct.
Games,
so. No doubt. But when he's healthy.
Also, but Ernest Johnson's a good third string running.
Very
running
good back as well. Yeah. That might be the best, you know, trio of running backs in the NFL collectively.
Yeah. And another thing too, it's like that interception he threw when they rolled him out of the pocket. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
He had David Njoku wide open.
Yeah.
Like he's giving easy throws. He just doesn't want to take them. It's so sad though, because like I've talked myself into, I think I said it on Monday, but like Kurt, if the Browns had Kirk Cousins this year, they win the division by 3 games, which is a scary thought to have. But you look at Kirk Cousins' stats this year, like he's having a damn good season.
Yeah.
He's thrown for 4,000 yards, 30 touchdowns, and 7 interceptions.
Well, see, that's the thing though, is he's always going to have the stats. But when it comes down to winning a ball game or having to make a big throw to win a ball game, that's where he comes up short.
Yeah, but wouldn't you? Cousins isn't the guy. He is the guy though that takes what's there.
Yeah.
So like the plays we're talking about, when guys are wide open, if they're not like big plays, he's not going to try and really force it. Wouldn't you say? He's just going to take the check down. That 3rd-and-2, he throws it to one of those guys, and we're moving the chains.
Correct. But see, you need like a happy mix of both, a happy medium of both, of a guy that will take what's there, you know, Alex Smith or like say Kirk Cousins. But then you also need a guy that's going to take the shot down the field every now and then too, to really try to force the issue. And Baker does the latter too much and Cousins doesn't do it enough.
Yeah, but that's a fine medium. Look, I'd rather take a little conservative than take what's there.
And when you have the running game that you do with the Browns, I think you can get by taking what you're given way more. No, yeah, I can agree with that.
Let me tell you, the Browns Twitter space, next time it's up there, you should go listen. It's pretty funny.
I saw you in it. I almost jumped in just to hear, and I was like, you know what? I'm gonna sit this one out.
I mean, I've been in that one for what, three days now, or the last three times. I don't know if they do it every night. It's literally been the same conversation every night or every time I'm in it. People come in. Who do you guys think should be the quarterback? It's this, literally the same names are thrown out. Can we get Deshaun Watson? Is it Kirk Cousins? Do you want Derek Carr? And all these guys are like, yes, yes, we want. It's literally the same exact discussions every single time. It's very funny to listen to.
Yeah.
Very, very funny there. All right. Do you have anything else NFL wise? I do think though, the teams are, like Micah Parsons getting COVID this week. I think that's obviously it's bad that he got COVID, but good. Like you want as many guys getting COVID on Thursday and Friday of this week, so then they don't get tested until after the Super Bowl, if you make a run. So I would say that's a positive for any team that a player is on COVID this week and they're a playoff team. I would say that's a good job. You got it at the right time.
Yeah.
But do you have anything else?
No, I think that does it for us on Sunday.
All right. Well, let's talk about Monday night here. We got the national championship game rematch, obviously, of the SEC championship game, kind of what everybody imagine. The spread is 3 points, Georgia -3 at Alabama. I'm honestly surprised that both of these teams are playing the game. I'm surprised they know how to play they know to go north to play a football game. Didn't really think they knew that football existed above Knoxville. So impressive that both these teams are going to Indianapolis to play. I know they have a dome, but maybe the air is a little different there. Who knows? Are they going to be able to handle playing a game in the north since no team ever goes plays there? But I've been riding with Georgia all year. I know I got burned. I'll get burned into the ground. I think I'm going to take them. I think Mechie's injury is big, so they can focus on Jameson Williams a bunch. The rush defense is good. That was the one thing they did, I thought, pretty good against Alabama in the SEC championship game, was stop the run. I don't know. I'm just going to go down with the ship, but I'm definitely going to take over 52. I think there's going to be some points in this game.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm the exact same way, but with Bama, you gotta run what you brung, and that's what I've been riding with all season. So there's no reason to jump off the bandwagon now. You know what I mean? So I do agree with you. I think the Mechie loss is huge for Bama, and you know, plays into Georgia's favor. But you know, if they can dial up that same pass rush that they got in the SEC championship game, I really think Georgia's quarterback is going to continue to struggle with that, and you don't have to see a ton of points. You can kind of just play, you know, play your style of game that you need to, if you can control the line of scrimmage on the defensive side of the ball, if you're Bama.
Yeah. Cause in the SEC championship game, they had 26 carries, Alabama, for 115 yards. Robinson only had 16 for 55. I think he was a little banged up in that game too. I also do want to, you said the offensive line, you would have to think that the Georgia defensive line would have improvements from their first stint, right?
You would hope. Absolutely.
You would think that they would have to improve on just pressure. Cause even in that game, when Bryce Young was under pressure, like, he wasn't really, the few times they got there, they weren't really doing anything. It was just, they let him stand back there too much. But they didn't get a sack in that game at all. And Bama had 3 sacks and 6 tackles for losses. They did get 8 quarterback hurries, so they were getting pressure, just weren't getting some sacks. But I think the Georgia defensive line is going to step up. But then again, I mean, it's hard, as I've said. It's just the whole Kirby Smart thing is just, I don't know. I really do think people are like in the same pickle they were going in the SEC championship game. Because if you look at who played better in the semifinal, you would have to say Georgia played better against a better opponent than Alabama. I know Alabama dominated the whole game, but they played, at least the Georgia offense showed more against Michigan than the Bama offense showed against Cincinnati.
Yeah, I could agree with that a little bit. You know, I definitely think, you know, Georgia did play better against their opponents. You know what I mean? Maybe Cincinnati and I wish we could have a third place game. Nobody would play in it, but I wish we could have a third place game just so we could see, you know, kind of like they do in the NIT, they have a consolation game. Yeah. But
talk opt-outs in the third place game.
No, 100%. I mean, nobody would play in that game. Absolutely nobody. They'd be picking up walk-ons left and right for that game. You know, just because, you know, all things considered, maybe Cincinnati was a better team than Michigan, you know, who knows, but I definitely get what you're saying about Georgia playing better in the semifinal. But again, I'm going to ride with Nick Saban. I'm going to ride with him kind of having the leg up on Kirby Smart and kind of always figuring out a way to you know, get one over on him.
Not kind of. He always has a leg up on him.
Yeah.
He always does. But I don't know. I'm obviously fascinated in this, because it is. I think for college football, it obviously would be better if Georgia won, just for a little change up. But I mean, the same teams are going to be right back in there next year fighting for the playoff. Obviously, Bama's not going anywhere. Georgia will be there next year. Ohio State will be there. I think the other than that, Clemson is a question mark. But, I mean, it's still going to be the same teams fighting for the playoff next year that pretty much do it this year. So, I don't know. I'm excited. I think it should be obviously a good game. I saw the ticket prices are actually pretty high for this one. So that's interesting because Bama plays in the national title every year, but I guess when Georgia, the last time they played it, and it was in Atlanta, so their fans are going to want to head up to Indianapolis because they don't make the trip a lot. But I found that the ticket prices are still pretty pretty pricey for this game.
Yeah, you know, rightfully so. These games always draw the big money prices.
Yeah, I'm looking cheapest tickets, $380 right now on StubHub. That's actually not that bad.
It's not too bad, yeah.
Did you see the ratings came out for the semifinals?
I did not see them.
Okay, so if I had to tell you that, do you think that a playoff semifinal game was the highest rated bowl game of the New Year's Six bowls? Would you say yes or no?
I would say no.
It was not. The Rose Bowl was the highest rated bowl game so far this year. 16.6 million for the Rose Bowl, 16.5 for Georgia, Michigan, and then 16.2 for Alabama, Cincinnati.
So it seems Ohio State fans support their team more than Michigan fans, huh?
Yeah. Yes, it does seem. It does seem like that. But this is also a trend. This is the lowest rated college football semifinal slate.
But you know, I wonder how they track that. Like, is it concurrent views kind of like they do with streams? Because, you know, the Rose Bowl was a much, much better game than either of those games.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I wonder how they track that as far as, you know, who watched it the entire length, who watched it, you know, is there like who watched the game for how, you know, I don't know if they put a time limit on it, but you know, that probably has a lot to do with it too, with how competitive the game was.
So I was going to get to that with some numbers. So this was the first year that they played the semifinal games on New Year's Eve since 2015. That was the Alabama, Michigan State, Clemson, Oklahoma. The Alabama Michigan State game was a blowout, but it got 18.6 million, and the Clemson Oklahoma game got 15.7. The Cotton Bowl was a night game, so it wasn't as lowly rated as that, but pretty close. And then you look at the year after, you start getting them not on New Year's Eve. They're around 19 million. The Alabama Clemson in 2017, and then Georgia-Oklahoma. See, here's the thing. When they're close games, the Georgia-Oklahoma game was that double overtime Rose Bowl, that New Year's Eve game. That got about 27 million views, which is higher than the national championship game the last 3 years, I think, because we really haven't had any close games before. You look at the next closest game in the playoffs. That was the Clemson-Ohio State game when they in the Fiesta Bowl that Saturday night when they got screwed by the refs. That garnered over 21 million views. So when the game is close late, because then LSU Oklahoma in the afternoon before that got 17 million views because it was LSU won by 35. So like when the games are close, they're getting more than 20 million views, but if they're not, people aren't watching it because there's no interest in it. So, but also New Year's Eve brings down the ratings a whole nother level. Yeah. Like it looks like there's about at least 2.5 million people that don't watch the game if it's on New Year's Eve, just looking at the ratings. Because when it's New Year's Day, it's sitting around 18, 19, but below that, it gets to 16. And consistently, every single year, I'm looking at all the ratings. Even when it's not in the playoff, the Rose Bowl garners 16 million views each year, no matter who's playing in the game. So I don't know. I find that kind of interesting. And the next year it's on New Year's Eve again, 'cause it's on a Saturday. Like, I just don't get why they just don't Take it off a set. Take it off the New Year's Eve set. They'd be better off playing those games on the 30th on a Friday than they would on the Saturday.
Yeah. Or make it, you know, like a normal college slate and have, you know, like a noon game and a 3:30 game. Or what do they usually do? They do.
Yeah, 11. But more people are going to on New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
You could do that next year because it's a Saturday.
Correct.
But like this year, it wouldn't work because people would still have to work.
Yeah.
But, yeah,
who's really working on New Year's Eve? Not this guy. That's for sure.
Not this guy either. I was off this year.
I was technically scheduled, but I mean, come on, what are we doing?
All right. So the NBA, the couple things I got on the NBA last night, they had the Dirk retirement jersey. The statue is I'm going to say the statue sucks.
Terrible. Terrible. What's with the three balls? That was
stupid. I don't know. If it was just one ball, it would be fine. Lance Armstrong, the trophy. You don't need three balls.
Yeah. There was one tweet that said, man, this dude's shooting anal beads out here.
Just give it the Lance Armstrong treatment. And you're good to go.
It's always like the most beloved stars that get the most screwed up statues, I feel like, you know what I mean? Like they always find a way to just, they try to do too much for the big name guys, not the Mavs, just teams in general. And more often than not, you know, you're probably third grade math teacher told you this over and over and over again, keep it simple, stupid. You know what I mean? Like you don't try to do too much and you'll have positive results. When you try to do the extra shit, it comes out and looks stupid.
Because other than that, it's a good looking statue.
100%. 100%.
Like you obviously have to do the shot or whatever, but like it's a good looking statue. You just don't need three balls. You just need,
especially you know they have him shooting the one legged fadeaway. Look, it'd make more sense, I guess, if they had him like shooting a three pointer. You know, the three ball, but he always shot his one legged fadeaway. You know, from the baseline or from the elbow. So he's definitely not shooting the three ball there.
Did they have him behind the 3-point line? On the statue?
No, but I would assume not, but that's what I'm saying. Yeah. It was the one-legged fadeaway.
Yeah.
He never shot that for, you know, so I don't know.
No, but that's his shot. Like, that's the silhouette they have on the court.
Oh, no, like, that's what I know, and that's what I'm saying. I agree. That should be the statue. Okay. You know, that's the Dirk, but he never shot that as a three-pointer, so I don't know if that's what they're trying to say. I mean, I don't know.
I think they're just trying to get the trajectory of the ball.
Maybe.
But I have loved the photoshops of like the Jordan statue. Have you seen that one?
Yeah.
They had three balls on that or a couple extra there. They really look, Dirk has been fantastic for the Mavericks, obviously. But are they going to have another? They're milking this thing with him. Like they're getting every ounce of tickets. Obviously the jersey ceremony is one thing. They're going to have another big ceremony for the statue. They already had the street renamed after him. They had the ending of the retirement. I mean, they are milking every dollar out of this thing that they can get.
Well, I mean, yeah, I think you have to.
I agree.
You know, because they're showing, you know, great respect to the best player in the franchise's history. And then, like you said, they can do the old double dip where if Cuban and the Mavs can make a little extra coin off of it, well, then they're obviously going to do that. So they're selling NFTs of him.
Are they?
Yeah. They were showing out, I don't know, is it still called The Jump? Whatever the NBA show
NBA
is.
NBA Today, I think.
Yeah. I was at the gym and they were selling like 8 or 9 different NFTs, all ranging from like $150 to like $4,000. So they're really, really trying to milk this thing for all they got.
Yeah, they are. All right. So the other NBA thing I was going to say is this. So we're now, as we've talked about, we're in the third season of the pandemic. And it really seems like the NBA is kind of off the rails right now. But like this regular season, I personally watch every Cavs game because I think they're exciting. But in general, I think the NBA is having a problem of just like you turn on a game, a random game.
You have no idea who's playing.
I was just going to say that you have no idea who's going to play. And it just waters down the regular season. I don't know if it waters down, but it just makes it like, I felt the season last season when they played 70 games, seems like it had more structure, more meaningfulness, if that's the right word. felt more normal than this season. And even going back to like the bubble felt a little more like ready to go than this. I mean, you got 10 guys you never even heard of. I mean, we 2 weeks ago talked about the Raptors starting five that one game. No one knows what's going on there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I mean, the Suns are the same way. They're signing guys off the street. They signed Bismack Biyombo. That guy looks like he might stick around for a little bit the way he's been playing. But
he wasn't on a team?
No, I was shocked as well. I was shocked as well that Bismack Biyombo wasn't on a team. You know, the Celtics are out here signing guys out of the retirement home. But yes. No, you're right. I mean, they have every day you read the bottom line and it's so-and-so is being signed to a 10-day contract for the hardship, you know, a 10-day hardship contract. This guy. You literally have no idea. Now is the best time to be an overseas basketball player that, you know, was maybe had a good college career, a decent college career, because you can come into the NBA and, you know, find your way and, you know, maybe end up on a roster for a good period of time.
Well, the G League went on pause. Because they had so many guys being in the NBA right now. So they went on pause for their season until they could get those guys coming back.
Tell me why Jimmer Fredette is in the NBA right now. Jimmer Fredette, this is the perfect NBA for Jimmer Fredette right now.
Probably because he hasn't played basketball. Is he playing in China still?
Oh, yeah, he is. He's the Michael Jordan of China right now.
I mean, he might not get clearance leaving China.
True.
Boy, he looks weird. That one picture. Yeah, no, he's in.
He's got to be like 33.
He's playing for the Shanghai Sharks. How old? He's 32. He is. He was the Greek. He was a Greek league champion in 2020 when he played for Panathinaikos. That, you know, it's his second stint with the Shanghai Sharks right now.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm telling you, he's like the dude in China right now. He's always played with the Shanghai Sharks when he's played in China. He's beloved. Michael Beasley.
Gotcha. He's actually, he played in the summer league this year. Well, he was signed to the Nuggets summer league squad, but he immediately withdrew due to an unspecific injury. Unspecified injury.
Yeah, his unspecified injury was his wallet wasn't as filled as when he was playing in China.
Well, he's not playing in China right now because I don't think China's playing. He is, he's not there. I don't know. Yeah, but like Isaiah Thomas has come off the street twice. I mean, guys are just coming out of there. So it's just the NBA, it seems like it's just, I don't know, it's got to get through this right now. They've postponed a couple games, but it just seems like if you're looking into the playoffs, like, when those happen, like, how do you even determine, like, do you just truly throw the records out the window and the stats and all the numbers on everything, or like what sample size when you get closer to the playoffs, how can you gauge your team right now or around the trade deadline if you're in the NBA? Cause you just don't know how many guys you got. Yeah. I don't know. It's pretty remarkable out there. All right. I have one last thing. Golf is back underway today. We start the new season. We're not the new season. We're halfway through the season, but it's the new year. So that's exciting there in Hawaii. You got some primetime golf. I do have some picks, but I don't know if we're going to get there out in time. I got Spieth first round leader at plus 2,000. Now it's 18-1. I'm telling you what, I think Brooks is getting a little disrespected. First round top five today, he's plus 220. I think that's too good a value there for the tournament. Plus, or he's a top five, he's plus 300, but it's in Hawaii, so how much does he really care? I don't know. It's good to have golf back. We'll have to see what happens this season. Will Tiger play? How will Jordan bounce back from a decent year, a pretty good year? So that's exciting. We'll obviously talk about it as good things. Come on, can Rory win a major? Will any of the players that go to Saudi Arabia for their big paydays, come back with the extremities there? You would think they would, but who knows? Good to have golf back though. Not that you care.
Yeah, I mean, you know, once football season's over, we'll flip it on a little bit. But right now, I'm not gonna say I'm super locked in.
I'm just locked in because I haven't watched golf in a while. Like, I, you know me, I watch almost every week. during football season, I think I saw 10 shots. I watched more PNC than any other of the fall series tournaments. Like I knew who won or whatever, but I was just like, I was golfed out after this year. So I'm back and ready to go. All right. Do you have anything else before you wrap up or not?
Oh yeah. Two quick things. We were just talking about who knows who the hell is playing for NBA teams. Just read a tweet from Shams. Gerald Green. He's assistant coach for the Rockets. He's unretiring and he's planning to sign in the NBA G League to pursue a return to the league. So, you know, we'll see him back in action. And then the one last thing, Jarrah got his name thrown in the mix just in case the Super Bowl might need to be here in a few weeks. They were talking about Dallas or Arlington hosting the Super Bowl, and if for whatever reason it's not able to be played at SoFi in LA, and so that'd be pretty exciting considering the last time it was here, everyone almost died because of the massive ice storm we got right before.
Well, and he had unsafe stands.
That's right. Yeah.
And he knows that this is the only way he's going to be able to get a Super Bowl within the next 6 to 7 years.
Yeah.
But then the people in LA said the Super Bowl is not moving. So they came out quickly after that. I didn't realize that Gerald Green was an assistant coach for the Rockets.
Yeah. He's from Houston.
Yeah, I knew that. But I don't know if I saw him going to coaching after his career. We need still a coach.
A coaching basketball league?
No, a coaching dunk contest.
Oh, that was what I was about to say. One of the most electric in-game dunks of all time. When he was with the Nets, alley-oop windmill running down the sideline. Then I forget who throws it up to him. And windmill dunks this ball. And he dunks it in front of the visitor bench. And dudes from the visitor bench kind of stood up and like had a reaction because it was such a sick dunk. It's probably one of my favorite in-game dunks I've seen. It's he takes off from almost the free throw line, it seems like, and windmills it off the alley-oop. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, he was incredible. He was a high flyer.
Yeah.
That is for sure. And then look, we have Novak Djokovic.
Novak's the guy.
Legitimately Novak Djokovic.
Yep.
His visa's been canceled. They also filled out a wrong visa for him. His team filled out a different visa where they thought he was going to be in. But talk about a nation uproar of allowing him in. Pretty much the people said, you're not coming in. And the prime minister changed the visa or whatever. So now he's out. But then he's also sitting in a border hotel holding cell.
Yeah.
As they wait to see if he can come in or if he cannot. So that is quite the scene in Australia, and especially in the state of Victoria, where I think they have like the most strict lockdown rules or COVID rules in the world, or especially the Victorian state. They have the strongest in Australia, because there's this F1 photographer I follow who's Australian. When he came back from the last race in Abu Dhabi, he had to do a 14-day quarantine, and they tested him. Like when he first got there, he was negative. They tested him like day 3, day like 7, 10, and like 14. He tested negative all the time, every single day, and he still had to sit through the 14-day quarantine in the hotel room. So wherever he was in Perth, I think that's still same state of in Australia, but sounds like they have strict rules down there. So Novak is going to be in some he's in hot water. He's in a holding cell right now.
Yeah.
So we'll have to see what happens. All right, that's going to do it for us. We'll be back next Tuesday to talk about the national championship game. Did you give a pick for that? You said taking Bama.
Yep.
Okay. All right, since we're there, what did you finish up with college football? Do you have that there
for the bowl games?
Yeah, bowl games, then add it to the total record. If you need to add it up, I have mine ready.
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, I was 11-9-1 in the bowl games. Shout out Kansas State on Tuesday night. That was nice. And then for the season, I finished up 91-71-3. So what is that? That's 165 games. We will give a percentage on that right now. That's 55%. So we'll take it. We will take it.
So I finished up, 18 and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 18 and 7 on the year, or excuse me, on the bowl bowl picks, 18-7. And so if I add that to my season total, I am 102-62 on the year. Or excuse me. No. 106 and hold on. Crap, I screwed that up. Sorry. Oh yeah, no, I did that right. 102-66.
Gosh, that's a good record.
Yeah.
It's probably what, 59%?
But yeah, right, just about.
Yeah, right around that. Always Ryan versus adding picks.
Poof. Yeah.
It's a battle that you'd never know who's gonna win.
Yeah. And more often than not, it's probably gonna be the picks or the math.
Yeah. All right, so those are our records there. So we'll be back on Tuesday. Thanks everybody for listening, and we will talk to you then.